I'm just going to read the scripture, but I'd like you to just close your eyes and repeat after me. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy word. Amen. So this is Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through 23. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Thank you, Paul. In 1987, I spent a summer with Teen Missions on a team that served in Tasmania, Australia. But before that, in order to get to our training and orientation place in Merritt Island, Florida, I met a converted school bus at the SeaTac Airport and proceeded to ride for 4 days and nights all the way to Florida. Once I got there, there were about 1,000 other teenagers from all over the states and Canada, and we spent the 2 weeks at what they called the Teen Missions Boot Camp. It was no vacation. We slept in tents. We bathed in a shallow pond. We did our laundry in a bucket. We had classes all day in construction and evangelism, followed by evening meetings full of teaching. We spent a lot of time memorizing verses, including Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, every morning at 5:30, a loudspeaker would blare through the jungle telling us it was time to get up. It didn't exactly say that. It said, the Lord is coming, rise and shine. He's got good things in store for you. As we all went, But nevertheless, you know how that is. Well, what we would do is we'd assemble as a team. We would walk up the hill. And then the first thing on our day was the obstacle course. This was to help us with team building. It would give us exercise. And it was also a great opportunity to become a sweaty, drippy mess to start the day. Well, I personally loved the obstacle course, and others dreaded it. For me, my favorite part was called the Slough of Despond. I'll be showing you a clip of that in a moment. For me, it was easy peasy. I never got my feet wet once, though I will say the last couple days I did it, I was starting to get nervous. I knew the verse, pride goes before a fall, but thankfully I still made it. But there were others that it was no fun, particularly one girl on our team. Every morning as she approached the slough, she would say to herself, or actually out loud, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Someone would hand her the rope. She'd grab the rope. She'd slide down the rope and get filthy, soaking wet in 3 feet of muddy water. Her entire body would be soaked, including water in her 8-inch high, which we all had to wear construction boots. And there was no way to change your clothes until you dried out later on. Well, I got to tell you, though, grabbing a rope and successfully swinging across an icky body of water is not what Paul meant when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What he was actually thinking of is something much more difficult, and that is the ability to be content no matter the circumstances. You know, for many of us, being content is much harder than hanging on for dear life on a rope. We face a lot of difficult things. You know, when the chips are down or they're flying towards our head, it gets really difficult. And sometimes we find ourselves wrestling and struggling to trust God. We really want to. We wish we could, but we end up whining instead of actually leaning on Him. Often there's nothing we can do about our situation. The only thing we can do is endure it. But I got to tell you, it's so much easier when we know we have God who is there to help us. If you're struggling with contentment this morning, I hope that you'll be encouraged because God's got good news for us. Because of Christ, we can get through whatever comes our way. Lord, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that you would teach us, you instruct us, you would enable us to live as content people, not because life is easy, but because you are with us. We thank you that your yoke is easy, your burden is light, and you will be with us all the way. Help us to cling tight to you. because you are clinging tight to us. In your name I pray, amen. Well, there is a Peanuts cartoon in which Charlie Brown was asked by Lucy, did you ever know anyone who was really happy? Well, before she could finish the statement, in came Snoopy dancing. And you know how Snoopy would dance in circles and do his thing. And Lucy and Charlie were watching in amazement. In the last frame, she finishes with a question. And she asks him, did you ever know anyone who was really happy and still in their right mind? You know, if you were to ask Paul, if you were to look at Paul's life and ask him that question, his answer would be surprising. Because if anyone could be discontent, it would be Paul at that point. He's in prison for preaching God's word when he wrote Philippians. He's lost everything. He doesn't have access to his friends. He's in major quarantine, you could say. He's isolated. He doesn't know if he's going to live or die. His fate seemingly is in the hands of Nero. And Nero was a bad dude. And yet he also knew ultimately his life was in God's hands. You know, and instead of complaining about the injustice of his situation, what do? We keep finding him say, rejoice in the Lord. This sounds crazy, but he's still glad in God. Well, last week we read Philippians 4 when it says, rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again, rejoice. You know, what's interesting this week is it got increasingly warm. I heard people complain, it's too hot. And then guess what's going to happen in about 6 months when it gets increasingly cool? We're going to hear everyone complain it's too cold. And so some of you, then you go into a store where it's burning hot outside and you go in and you say it's too cold. And then you go outside and it's too hot again. And then your car air condition doesn't work, right? So we complain about that. You know, Paul, again, we complain. And yet Paul was saying, rejoice. Remember, his prison cell was hard. The food probably wasn't great. The guards next to him probably stank. He couldn't take a bath either, and he was stuck there. And yet he continues to rejoice. You know, Paul is going to talk about joy because he knows the God who is in charge of all things. He knows the God that he belongs to. He knows that God takes good care of his kids. And aren't you glad? I know for a fact, all of us had human parents. Some of them were better than others. God is a great parent. He takes good care of us, whether it's smooth sailing or really difficult circumstances. Well, Paul read in Philippians 4, 10 to 13, and I want to begin with what is contentment? Well, it was often used at the time that Paul wrote as a person who through discipline has become independent of external circumstances and discovered within resources that were more than adequate for any situation. Probably the Stoics really sought to live up to this. We handle it, we go through it, we press through. It had to do a lot with self-sufficiency. But that wasn't the kind of contentment Paul was talking about. No, he wasn't talking about, I've got everything within that I need. No, he's saying when he was talking about contentment, he was talking about God's divinely bestowed sufficiency, whatever the circumstances. Because Paul knew he wasn't self-sufficient, but God was all-sufficient. And because Christ was in, that would make all the difference. You know, when it comes down to it, a content person is a grateful person. Regardless of circumstances, we can praise God. And a grateful person will be a content person usually. Why? Because we know God supplied our needs. We've all had enough to eat today. We all have a place we can sit. I don't know of anybody that walked to church besides the four of us. You know, maybe Barb, I don't know. But anyway, we all have plenty of clothes. We have places to lay our sleepy heads. God has been good to us. We've often heard it said, happy is the person who has what he wants. But I think Paul would more likely say, happy is the person who wants what he has. You know, it's not a problem to say, hey, I would like something different. I rejoice with the Wades who are moving to a new house. They were grateful. They were content there, but God's opened a new door. And so, yay, we will celebrate with them. You know, contentment, though, is being okay with outward circumstances, even when they're not easy. And so from the beginning, Paul is going to say contentment. He's going to tell us where contentment comes from. And in fact, it comes from the Lord. Contentment is in the Lord in verse 10. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you'd been concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. Well, how did Paul rejoice? He rejoiced in the Lord. Everything for Paul is connected with Jesus. And he's connected with the Philippians because of Jesus. That's where his fellowship lies. And in everything in his book, it's always in the Lord, connecting with God. He rejoices because he knows Jesus. So if you're lacking contentment, if I'm lacking contentment, we have to ask, how is our connection with Christ doing? Are we really living in the Lord? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Do you know your sins are forgiven? Your hope's in heaven and he's coming back to get you. If you call on God, he'll respond. If you're a Christian and you're having a challenge with contentment, how is your relationship with God? Are you spending time with him? Are you talking with him? And when he talks, are you listening and actually acting? You know, if contentment's elusive, that's a great place to begin. Go to God and say, how are things going here? You know, nothing else will truly satisfy. It's interesting that the Philippians, he's mentioning that you had been concerned, you had no opportunity to show it. This is a point in the recent past. We don't know what was keeping them from showing their concern other than he was a long ways away. But something happened and eventually he was able to send Timothy, Epaphroditus, and some others. And their response was great generosity, as we'll learn about next week. You know, it's interesting. At first, the Philippians had no opportunity, and then they did. And when they had the opportunity, they took it. A lot of Christians today have many opportunities, but they don't have the concern. Thankfully, there are a number of folks that have the opportunity and the concern. And we saw that as even though it's 95 degrees, we had some children hear about Jesus this last week, and we had some teenagers tell about Jesus, which is really awesome. Well, what did the Philippians do? They heard about a need and they acted. In verse 11, he says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. He has a need, but he didn't beg God's people. But somehow the need was put before him. And then he says, I learned. That's learned by experience. And it wasn't just I read this in a book somewhere. I actually went through this. He'd been in need. He'd been through some challenges. He'd also been through some good times. And he was in God's school. Learning can be hard. Sometimes our brains just don't want to take in the information. I remember as a kid learning my times tables. My teacher would go over them and over them and over them. And then I would come home. And guess what Mom had prepared for me? Flashcards. So out of nowhere, we're sitting around the dinner table or having breakfast or whatever, and all of a sudden she busts out 8 times 9. I don't want to do this right now. Okay, well, then we'll go for 4 times 6. Oh, did you have that same experience? The times table's getting drilled in your heads, or maybe they were simply addition. When you're little, that's really hard. 1 plus 5, oh, that's a head scratcher. I don't have enough fingers. Oh, I got to go to the other hand. Now I do. You know how that is. It can be really hard to learn and get it into our skulls. Sometimes we got to go to school. Paul had to go to the contentment school. I want to say that it's in the Lord, but Paul learned that contentment is learned. It didn't just happen automatically. Yes, he became a Christian quite rapidly once he's had a vision of Jesus and he had peace with God, but I am sure he had to continue to learn, just like we will. You know, and I have a feeling that if he was having to learn, he was also having to struggle, but he kept at it. If you're having a struggle with contentment, keep at it. You might still have a few more courses to take. If you go to college, you remember English 101, and then you had to take English 201, and then maybe 301. And then when you got to upper levels, it was like 401, 403, 409. And you're like, I'm tired of this. So I'll study something else. But God is really concerned that we learn the lessons he wants us to know. Well, what's he say? He says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether being well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. It's interesting. He says, I've learned the secret. Now, this is not a secret that he's going to keep from everybody. He's willing to share it with everybody. It's kind of like those internet ads that pop up when you're watching YouTube. Do you want to know the secret to getting rid of mosquitoes? I don't know why that one keeps popping up on me. Well, just do this easy trick. And I never click. And so I don't know what their three easy payments in 1999 are supposed to do. But all I know is it keeps appearing and I'm tired of it. And I'll just live with mosquitoes instead of give them money. But nevertheless, he's learned the secret and he wants to share it with them. And really, what is it? No matter what he's going through, he will seek to be content. How? He's going to learn about it. He knows it's in the Lord, and it is also lived out. Contentment is not just, oh yeah, I got that. You actually have to live it out. But guess what? It's not for the select few. Hey, do you know the secret? The secret password? The secret of being content? No, he's shouting out. He wants you to know. Guess what? No matter what's going on, you can be content if you are in the Lord. And guess what? You can be content if God is with you. It is life in Jesus. You know, it's not just enough to say I'm content. It needs to be shown in how we live. And then Paul gets specific. He says, I've learned to be content when I'm in need. That is less than what's needed for daily life. This isn't, I didn't get the newest iPhone. This is, I don't even have a phone. I don't even have a voice. And he says, plenty. That's more than he needs for daily life. Okay, he gets a second cupcake or whatever the case might be. He actually gets some food for the day and he has enough and he realizes that. Some of you may be in need in certain areas. It could be physical. It could be financial. It could be emotional. It could be spiritual. Some of you have enough and you're rejoicing. Paul knows what that's like. Guess what? Jesus lived on this earth too. I am certain, well, we know Jesus went without food sometimes. In fact, he went 40 days once without. And I'm sure being a Middle Eastern peasant 2,000 years ago, he knew what it was like to skip a meal or have hard times, to sleep on a rock. He had it rough at times. At other times, he had feasts and banquets. I'm sure he ate well at the feast, the wedding of Cana, especially when he provided the good wine. Well, as a matter of fact, Jesus had an extra pork chop or lamb chop, I meant, you know, kind of a deal. Well, Paul had also written in 2 Corinthians 11, I've labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. He also wrote, my God will supply your every need. And Paul could write, and that because he had seen God provided for all his needs. You know, think about it. He knew plenty and want. His friends in Philippi had sent a financial gift, and therefore he was given a little bit better food than the average prison fare. Because really, if you were in jail in Rome, it was up to you to provide. And if you didn't provide, you didn't eat. In fact, that's how it was at the jail that Kyle and Callie visited in Honduras. So when she and her team showed up with some spaghetti, let's just say those fellows were thankful. They only would have been there for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days, but that's a long time if no one brings you any food. That might be a helpful tool to not want to go to jail, but that's a whole nother story. So what did he have to do? He had to look to Jesus, good times and bad. He also wrote contentment, or godliness with contentment's great gain. And he also said in 2 Corinthians, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Paul's rotting away in the dungeon, and he is having to lean on Jesus. It had to be a constant effort to be content. He couldn't do it on his own, and he knew he didn't have to, because Jesus was there. And then we get to a favorite verse. I've mentioned it a few times today already. I can do everything through him or through Christ who gives me strength. Another thing is I will say is contentment is not only in the Lord. It's not only learned, it's lived, but it's leaned. And hear what I mean. I love to backpack. I hope to go some more this summer. But when I'm tired and there's nowhere to stop, I end up, if there's no tree to sit down, log to rest on her, or a big rock, I sometimes just lean forward and go, you know what that's like. You gotta lean on something. And Kim and I often go walking on Old Trail Creek Road, and Callie joined us last night, in fact. And regularly, I get a little rock on my sandals, and so I say, hey, stop, darling, let me lean on you for a bit. You know, so I lean on her, because otherwise, if I'm standing on one foot, I'm liable to topple over. And she is rock steady, unless she decides to do like she did last night when she decided to do this wiggle action to mess with me. And so I'm trying to do like this, and here I am. And Jesus doesn't do that. And You know, I'm glad. And my wife is actually very nice to me, as you all know. But we can lean on Jesus. That's how we have strength. In a real sense, contentment is, it is that leaning, not only for salvation, because we can only have salvation through what Christ has done, but living the sanctification process. I've got to lean on him. I need his strength. I need his Holy Spirit. It's really similar to what Jesus taught in John 15. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm the vine. You're the branches. God knows it. Paul knows it. We better remember it. Well, when he says, I can do everything with him who gives me strength, that doesn't mean that when you trust in Jesus, you can leap. Now you can leap tall buildings in a single bound, fly faster than a speeding bullet, stop trains, or sail through the air with ease. No. It may not mean that suddenly you can become a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon or an NBA star, or you can design your own rocket to Mars just because you've got God. What does it mean, though? What he is saying is that you can live content. You can do what he calls you to do. How? Through his strength. I like how the Living Bible translates this verse. It says, I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ who gives me the strength and power. That's a whole lot different than I can do 5,000 push-ups with my pinkies. I'd like to see two of those. Actually, I can't do one, but anyway. But with the help of Christ, who gives us strength, we can do what he asks us to do. And he doesn't ask us to do what he doesn't help us to do. So in a sense, I could say, God would be saying this to me. He'd said, Mike, whatever I ask you to do, and wherever it is, I will help you. But lean on me. Paul, of course, wasn't asked to push over prison walls by faith. No, what he was challenged to do and what he taught the others to do was be content even when the prison walls are there. And guess what? That's miraculous in and of itself. We may not be able to do these amazing, amazing, incredible things, though I know that Jesus said, if you have faith in me, you can do still more. But really, it is miraculous when we are content in a rough spot. That is God at work in an incredible way. In 1 Timothy, we read, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength. He considered me faithful, appointing to his service. When Paul was weak and struggling, God gave him this answer, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. When Paul was abandoned, he could say, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Paul is saying, we can be content in Jesus. We can lean on him. He will not fall over. Again, he will not wiggle. He will not mess with us. He stands firm when we lean upon him. How would you answer this question? I will be content when. I will be content when. Or I will be content if. You know, God has the big picture in mind. He knows that having more money won't make you more content. Or having a nicer house, or getting that project done, or finally getting over the flu, or having that surgery, or whatever the case might be, or being able to get out of Dodge, or whatever. He knows the only way we can truly be content is if we are leaning on Jesus. And that's what Paul did. In a sense, he said, whatever you bring my way, God, I'll lean on you. You know, I don't think Paul necessarily liked his confinement, but he did know God was using it. How? He knew in Philippians 1, the gospel's getting out. People are hearing. God is working through these Roman soldiers around me. But had he been grumbling and discontent, I don't think God would have worked half as much. It's amazing. It is hard. But God is good. And keep in mind, whatever God brings into our lives, we can endure it. I mean, God loved us so much, he sent Jesus to save us from our sins. I don't understand why he chose me, but I'm just glad he did. But if he loves me so much, he saved me. And if he loves you so much, he saved you. You can be confident he is orchestrating your circumstances. And they'll be right, even if they're hard, even if they're tough. And guess what? God uses hard things to build our character. And I'm sure Paul knew what that was about. Well, if you've blown it and been discontent, or if you've been grumbling or whining or like me a few times this week, confess it. If you need help with contentment, ask God. He is concerned about what's going on. He knows what you need. He will provide. He may just have you go through a time of plenty or of want. But God is for you. Another verse we learned in teen missions is Romans 8:18. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Well, let's review. What's contentment? It's in the Lord. It's learned. Contentment is lived and contentment is leaned on. In light of this, will you trust him? Will I stop complaining about our situation? No matter how the situation turns out, will we look to God? Will we show a scared and weary world that our God can be trusted? Or will we act kind of like them? You know, as my summer missions team continued and the training went on for that two-week period, that girl on my team still chanted every time she came to the SLU, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And every day she got sopping wet and physically miserable, no matter what. Finally, she just did like that other girl. Why try to grab the rope? Jump as far. And she didn't even try to jump far, because if you land this deep in water and have to walk in it 1 foot or 20 feet, it doesn't matter. You're going to be wet from here down. So she would just jump on in. And I think she figured, at least if I don't swing, I won't fall backwards and get my hair wet too. So anyway, but did that mean that scripture and the strength of Christ failed her? No, it didn't. What actually happened is she learned to be content, whatever her circumstances. And truth be told, I didn't hear her complain, even though she was dripping wet. And that must have been miserable. But nevertheless, that's how we're to live. Even when life is messy and muddy and muggy, and your feet are sopping, and so is every part of you, Christ can be present and good and gracious in our lives. Let's be able to say, with the help of Christ, whatever you've got in store for me, God, we can make it. Lord, thank you for your word. Help us to live trusting you, the all-sufficient one who makes all the difference, who sees beyond our present, who has eternity in mind, and who loves us more than we can ever ask or imagine. Help us, Lord, to stop grumbling and complaining and whining and instead to worship you. Teach us to rejoice because you know the circumstances that have come our way, and nothing's going to get to us that hasn't been filtered through your love first, even when it's hard, even when it's challenging. Lord, you're trustworthy, and we thank you that you are always there to strengthen us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.